darkness through its deceit captured the hearts of the sons and daughters of light. We looked for light, but we found only darkness. We searched for bright skies, but walked in gloom. We fumbled like the blind along the wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. We were destined to fall, even in the brightest days. We stumbled as if it were dark. Among the living, we were like the dead. We looked for justice, but it never came. We looked for rescue, but it was far from us. So he himself stepped in to save us with his strong arm and his justice to sustain him. He put on righteousness as armor, salvation his helmet. He clothed himself with a robe of vengeance and wrapped himself in a cloak of divine passion. He slipped out of his royal garments, left eternity to enter time, divinity to wrap himself in humanity. A sea of glass for the ocean of separation. He left peace and for the first time felt pain. Because the very hands that held the stars were now sentenced to wear my scars. It was love that purchased this traitor's heart. It's what the prophets spoke about when they envisioned light living in men once again. For this reason, I was born for this. With weapons in hand, armor in place, I now march to the beat of a different drum. I will break through battle lines that have been drawn by discouragement and despair. Where more is left to be said, time has met its end. It's now or never. See, my mission today is clear. To wake the dead. To wake the dead. So let freedom's strong rage. You're not abandoned. You're not alone. Last day warriors, arise from yesterday's ash and raise your fist with us. We are the army discharging upon the land.
Who's excited?
Yeah.
This morning, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 15. If you don't, all of the scripture is going to be on the screen for you. The title of the message this morning is, If There Is No Resurrection. Do you guys remember the movie, It's a Wonderful Life? Yeah? I mean, hopefully everybody's seen that, even some of the kids. Have you guys seen It's a Wonderful Life before? Yeah, maybe the colorized version at least. Yeah, okay. If you remember, Clarence the Angel comes and he's at the edge of despair. Hopefully if you haven't seen it, I don't ruin it. I won't tell you all of it, of course. But he's at the edge of despair at the bridge. He's about to end his life, about to commit suicide. And his wish is, I wish I was never born. I wish I was never born. And so Clarence basically shows him, what if you were never born? And that was kind of the question of the whole movie, is what would life be? What would your family be like? What would your community be like if you were never born? And so we can look at this and the passage of scripture we're going to look at in 1 Corinthians 15, and we can put a what in front of it. What if there is no resurrection? And we can look at it as, what if Jesus had never resurrected? What if he stayed in the tomb? What if he was just dead? What if he was like Muhammad and all of the other prophets, all of the other religions that had a head honcho, had a head teacher that died? We could talk about that. We could talk about how things are different, but that's not where we're going. We're not talking about what ifs. So scratch what if out of your mind. Instead, it's if there is no resurrection in your life. If there is no resurrection, then. So instead of putting a what in front of it, you put a then behind it. If there is no resurrection, then. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Let's start with verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? There has always been people who have denied the resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus or the resurrection of the dead. In Jesus' time, even the Sadducees, some of the religious leaders of his time, denied resurrection of the dead and would argue with the Pharisees over that issue, that there was no resurrection of the dead. In Jesus' time as well, when he was in the tomb, if you remember, the Jewish leaders, the same Jewish leaders that denied Christ as the Messiah and made sure that he was crucified and put in that tomb, lied and bribed the Roman soldiers and told them to say that his body was not resurrected. In fact, his body was stolen by the disciples. There's always people that have denied the resurrection. In the book of Corinthians, Paul is addressing the Corinthian church, the church at Corinth. And it is a church that he himself founded and planted. He himself taught the gospel to. And suddenly, they are getting all of this information, all of this understanding of what is not true, what is false, and that is that there is no resurrection. Perhaps the Sadducees are teaching them. I'm not sure. But this is what he is setting out to correct, is that there is, in fact, a resurrection. Verse 13. Here is where he says, if there is no resurrection, this is when he starts to say his seminal piece. This is probably the first time that the resurrection is opened up in the scriptures. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. We might as well go home. It's not just the Easter Sunday is no more, but it is indeed just about the Easter bunny and Easter baskets and looking for eggs. But the Christian faith is useless. But notice here it says, if there is no resurrection, this is present tense. If there is no resurrection. He didn't say if there wasn't a resurrection. If Jesus wasn't resurrected, he's saying not just literally, but figuratively as well. I want to talk about that from two different angles the rest of the time. I want to look at not just Christ's resurrection, but resurrection as a whole, both literally and figuratively. I want us to be very careful because sometimes definitions can be cloudy. Sometimes we have different definitions of things. Figurative does not mean it's false, like literal is true and figurative is false. Figurative is like metaphorically. It stands for something that he's being very black and white with this, and this he's painting with grays. Does everybody understand that? I believe here in this text that he's doing both, that Paul is trying to get across something about the resurrection that can transform our lives today, present tense, right now, both literally and figuratively. And what he's talking about is if there is no resurrection, literally, if there was no resurrection of Jesus Christ, then he's still in the tomb, or maybe his body was stolen by disciples and put somewhere else and it decayed and it was never, he never resurrected. He's never been back to the Father. There is no Father, evidently, because Jesus was a liar. We have no faith. So literally, it throws everything out of whack. It throws all of our belief system. We can't say, well, that's just something that maybe you and I can just agree to disagree in, but we believe everything else. No, we can't agree to disagree in that. If we disagree in the resurrection, then you have a different faith than I do, and I'm, you have no faith at all, according to Paul, and we're going to get to that. If there is no resurrection, and then figuratively, what is he trying to say to the people at Corinth? What is he trying to say to us centuries later who is reading this text? This text was not just for Corinth. If it was just for Corinth, then that letter that was written to them in a scroll would have been good enough for them. It would have taught them, and that's good. It's for all time. It was canonized in Scripture. It was for you and I. It was for today. It was for 2019, Easter Sunday. You and I need to hear this morning, both literally and figuratively. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. If there is no resurrection, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. Figuratively speaking, if there is no resurrection in your life, then what I'm doing right now is useless. I'm wasting my breath. I'm an idiot. I'm foolish. And you're foolish to listen to me. Why are you doing this? What's the purpose? You could be going to the beach right now. It's a beautiful day. Okay, it's a little cold. I like it this time of, you know, this kind of weather at the beach personally, but you get the point. And so is your faith. If there is no resurrection. Now again, literally, totally, I think we can all agree, correct? Literally, if Christ has not been raised, yeah, no doubt, our faith is useless. Now, figuratively, if we have not been raised, if there's not new life in us from the dead, from the sin that is within us, that we have been captive in and Christ resurrected us from, if that new life is not in us, then listening to me is useless, and so is your faith. That's where the rubber meets the road. This is where we sometimes like to just play Christianity. And Paul's saying, that's not Christianity. Your faith is useless, and my preaching to you is useless. Well, I don't know, aren't you drawing a pretty hard line in the sand? I mean, wow, this is kind of Easter Sunday, Sean. I mean, it's supposed to be happy and woohoo, we're supposed to get out of here and feel charged up. Man, if this doesn't charge us up, then our faith is useless. Then we need to do something different. We need to either go completely away from it because we're not really doing it anyway, or we need to completely go to Jesus Christ and allow him to raise us from the dead. Verse 15, more than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. Literally, if we say Jesus was raised from the dead and there is no resurrection, then we are false witnesses. We are lying. We're saying he raised from the dead and in fact he didn't. Literally, I think we can get our minds around it. Figuratively, can we get our minds around? If we are not experiencing resurrection life, then we are false witnesses and we are misrepresenting God because he's a living God. He's the God of the living, not the dead. And so if I'm walking around dead in my sins, dead in my trespasses, just dead, and say, I serve a living God, I am misrepresenting God. Right? I would be called a liar. Or what's the word we use? Oh, that's right, hypocrite. It's the same thing. I seem to be jammed. Kathy, if you could assist me, please. Hey. Verse 16. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Literally speaking, if Christ has not been raised, then it's futile. In other words, it has no effect. Makes sense, right? Christ died for my sins, then there is no life. That means I too will die in my sins. Literally speaking, it's futile. It's like the definition of insanity, expecting or doing the same thing and expecting different results. It's futile. Thank you, Kathy. You are awesome. Isn't Kathy awesome? So futile is incapable of producing any useful result. It's pointless. So literally speaking, my faith is pointless. I serve a dead God. That's pretty pointless, right? Yeah, my God is dead. Do you want to know about him? So literally, figuratively, it is futile for us to keep doing what we're doing. Why do you think we keep hitting our heads against the wall? It's not working. We're frustrated. We want more of God sometimes. Sometimes we want more of the world. And we're frustrated because we're going back and forth, back and forth. It's not producing any useful results. Or Scripture calls it in Galatians fruit, spiritual fruit. It's pointless. Another way of putting it, if there's no resurrection, Christianity just does not work. It just doesn't work. It's broken. Have you ever felt like that? It's just broken. Something might be wrong with me. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this. The closer I get to God, the more wrong happens. Have you ever felt like that? That's because you're in a spiritual battle. And usually what we do is, oh, if that's the case, that means I must be doing something wrong, and we retreat. Because we want to be comfortable. Without resurrection, literally it's futile, and it doesn't work because it just doesn't make sense. I serve a dead God. And figuratively, it's futile and does not work because there is no life. There is no regeneration within me. There is no change. There's no life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's who he is. And if there is no life in us and evidence in us, then there's no evidence that Christ is in us. This is where it gets real. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now you're talking about my salvation. Easy now. Verse 17, the last part of it. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Wait a minute. Didn't Jesus die for my sins? Literally, he died. He took an enormous beating. He had the crown of thorns on his head. Ow. He had the crown of thorns on his head for you and for me. Literally, he died for my sins. Literally, he rose again. But if there is no resurrection, then I'm still in my sins. Because he just died for nothing because there is no life. Figuratively speaking. If there is no new life in you, in me, figuratively speaking, I am still in my sins. It's not just I got a get out of hell free card because I shook the preacher's hand. It's not because I repeated after somebody who knocked at my door and everything is good. If there is not new life, regeneration in my life, resurrection life within me, new life, the way, the truth, and the life within me, I am still in my sins. That's the truth. That's the gospel. It's not the watered-down American version, I grant you that, but it is the truth. It is the gospel. Does anybody have a problem with that? Does anybody disagree with me? I stand before you willing to be corrected. You are still in your sins if there is no resurrection. Let me put it this way. If you have not been changed, you are still in your sins. If a metamorphosis has not happened in your life, not perfect, not perfection, none of us will be there. We still live in this earth suit. But we have new life through Christ Jesus. If that has not happened, then something's wrong. You are still in your sins. Present tense, by the way. Tim Keller said, the gospel is news about what God has already done for you, rather than instruction and advice about what you are to do for God. Very easy to take this figurative aspect of it and go, man, I need to work harder. Man, I need to try better. Man, I need to really go after it. Man, I need to stop doing this. I need to start doing this. And sure, some of those disciplines are needed in our lives. But we have to understand, literally, he rose again, and he lives inside of me, and he lives inside of you. That life is what brings new life to you. Not obedience, even. Not the law. Not anything you and I can do. Not our best days. Because they're like filthy rags, according to Scripture. It's because of his life. His life transforms us. It's what he has done for us. We celebrate his death on the cross, and we should, but we do not celebrate his resurrection enough. He came not just to take the sins away, but to give us new life. Now listen to that. You can look at it two ways. You can look at it as he took something away, and so now I'm this person with that away. No. You're this person with that away, and then he gave you a new person. You are a new person. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Do you get it? It's not Sean minus sin. It's new Sean. Resurrected Sean. And then in the end day, literally, he's going to give us a new body. More new stuff. Sean 3.0, you guys can't handle that. Not sure I can handle that. Verse 18. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Literally speaking, if Christ had not rose again, then every funeral that we've ever been to, they're in a better place. Not so. Not so. They're in the grave. They're in the ground. Because if Jesus is in the ground, they're in the ground, right? Figuratively speaking, those who have fallen asleep are lost. Same thing. So I didn't need to do figurative. Verse 19. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we of all people are most to be pitied. Can I tell you something? Verse 19 is today's Christianity. We're walking around, and I'm including myself, where a lot of us are walking around dead, saying Jesus is alive, and we're to be pitied. We're to be pitied for this very reason. We know what to say. We may even know the truth, but we have not allowed the truth to transform us. We have not allowed Christ to make us a new creation and to make us have resurrection life ourselves. Do you realize that? And we're to be pitied. A nominal Christian is to be the most pitied. A nominal Christian's a faker. A nominal Christian has a little of both, but not the best of both. To be pitied. Verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Strike up the band! But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Verse 12 to verse 20 has been erased. He's saying all of this stuff, being futile and your faith is useless and all of this stuff, good news. Literally and figuratively, not so. He has been raised. And resurrection is true, and resurrection is true for you. It is available for you. It's available for you today, present tense. Not just for the Corinthian church, but for the Eumetelian church. I like that. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He's the first fruits. When we give tithes and offerings, it's the first fruits of what we give, our monies, our paycheck and stuff. We give a tithe off that. That's first fruits. Jesus was the first fruit of you and I. Literally speaking, we will be resurrected when he returns. And Christ is coming again. Verse 21, and we're ending with verse 22. Verse 21, so you see, I have another scripture after this though, sorry, psych. Verse 21, so you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, in other words, you're all a human being. We all have this earth suit. You are all a descendant of Adam. You're all a part of the human race. You're all part of Adam, and because of that, we're all going to die. Physically speaking, we're all going to die. I know. I'm going morbid again. You're dying. You're decaying right now. Okay, I'll stop. We're all going to die, right? That's what he's saying. Everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. That's his promise. So, if you are in Christ, where's your new life? Where's your new life? Look in your metaphoric mirror. Look in your figurative mirror. Where's your new life? Romans. Stuck again. I'm going to hurt myself. Romans. Romans 8, 10 through 11 says this, but if Christ is in you, man, so glorious. But if Christ is in you, thank you. Kathy, you are on the ball. You're awesome. Kathy keeps doing this so she can get that. No, I'm kidding. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because you're human, because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. If Christ is in you. Well, you don't understand. The temptation is so great. You don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand my situation. You don't understand my testimony. You don't understand my upbringing. You don't understand the parents. You don't understand that I didn't have any parents. You don't understand all of these kind of steps. You're right. I don't understand. I get it. You know, maybe I've lived a charmed life compared to you. I don't know. I don't know your situation. But I know humanity's situation according to Scripture. And if Christ is in you, then the Spirit of God is in you. And the Spirit gives life. Not death. Life. And if we keep saying it, the temptation is too great. This desire for comfort is too great. Then I have to wonder, is Christ in you? Because, listen, the God I serve, literally and figuratively, is greater. And he's alive, right? And I'm not saying perfection, because I miss it too all the time. I miss it too all the time. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, so he didn't really up the ante because he already said Christ is in you. How do you up the ante from that? But he just kind of was like, let me put it another way, okay? It's like, if Christ is in you, and by the way, because Christ is in you, the same Spirit that rose him from the grave, that same miracle-working, life-giving, wonder-working power in the blood, is in you. It's in you. It's in you. It's in me. Man, we need to look in that mirror and point at it and go, it's in you. You're you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Literally, when Christ returns, he will also resurrect our mortal bodies. I'm planning on being cremated. There I go, being morbid again. How's that going to happen? He's giving me a new body. Again, Sean 3.0. I'm not worried about Sean 2.0 that's being cremated. No concern whatsoever. He's given us a new body. That's literally, figuratively, he gives life to this body that is walking around wanting death all the time. And he's like, no. I have resurrection power inside of you. And I want you to experience my life, abundant life. Why did Jesus say that in John 10:10 if he didn't mean it? That he came to bring life and have it more abundantly. Why would he say that unless he's a bold-faced liar if he wasn't going to back it up? And he backed it up by sending his spirit. Could I have the worship team come up, please? As they're coming up, I want you to think of this. Remember, not what if there is no resurrection? How would life be different? No. If there is no resurrection in my life, think about that. Maybe even change the if to is. Maybe ask God, is there no resurrection in my life? I want you to bow your heads with me, please. This is really serious, guys. I cannot share God's amazing good news without giving an opportunity for somebody to respond to it. If you're here today and you realize there is not new life within you, maybe you've just never heard about Jesus, maybe this is just new to you, maybe you've been running, whatever your story is, or maybe it's you've had a brand of Christianity that is bogus. You've had a brand of Christianity that is futile and useless, and you're ready for the resurrected King to be Lord and Savior of your life, not just giving you a get out of hell free card, but resurrecting your life from the sins that are in you right now. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Come on, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. If that's you, raise your hand. Is there anybody? Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you would continue to work on our hearts. Lord, this applies for everyone, Lord. I pray right now if there was any even inkling or sense of superiority coming from me, Lord, that Lord, you would first of all rebuke me, but Lord, that you would take that from anyone's understanding, Lord, because I, just as Paul, come before you as the chief sinner. Lord, I pray that you would captivate our hearts. Lord, you would continue to draw us to yourself. Lord, that we would be drawn to your resurrection life. And Lord, that you would take us out of what is drawing us now. Thank you, Father, for what you have done literally and figuratively in our lives through your resurrection. In Jesus' name.